Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joe Show 670, The Score. MLB trade deadline passed about 3.5 hours ago. Cubs, they tweaked, did next to nothing, and the White Sox did nothing. I got to tell you, I don't have a problem with how either team handled today. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Let's go to the Al Pomonte Ford Hotline. Al Pomonte Ford in Melrose Park. Check in with the former president of the Marlins, David Sampson. Does fine work for CBS Sports HQ. Check him out there. He also has the Nothing Personal with David Sampson podcast. And he's on Twitter, at David P. Sampson. David, a day like this, a strange year for all of us, but we have the August 31 trade deadline. Do you find yourself missing the action or thinking life is good? I don't miss the stress on a day like this.
You know what? I do miss the action. Many people who are out of the sport say I don't miss it and everything's great. I love doing Nothing Personal and being with CBS and being with you on the radio. And I don't ever want to go back. I had 18 great years. But on a day like this, I think about the 18 trade deadlines I was a part of. And when I see the moves like the Marlins were making and what you try to do to get better when you're shedding money or selling or buying, I love that competition. I miss winning or losing at the end of every day. And that's gone now that I'm out of baseball.
Is there a story that you could share, a deal that you thought was going to get done and then the deadline hit and never happened?
Well, so many deadline stories. I mean, I can tell you that what we did at the deadline is that we would have a board. So I'd be in there with the president of baseball operations, whether it was Larry Beinfest or later Mike Hill, Dan Jennings, bunch of scouts. We'd have our analytics people in. We'd bring in a whiteboard. And what we'd do is we would write down a list of players who we wanted to acquire, who we felt would not be traded, no matter what. And we would call the team and say, we have an interest in, just pick a player. Just a good example, say a Mike Trout before he got even better than he is now. What would it take? Anybody from our roster, we want Mike Trout. And so we would go through different deals like that and make calls, just trying to see if something could potentially happen. And none of those crazy deals ever happened, but some of them did. In terms of, we did a big deal with the Dodgers with Brad Penny and Juan Encarnacion and Paul LaDuca. So there's always deals to be done. The question is, do they work? Some years they do, some years they don't. I love that the White Sox did nothing because this was not the year for them to do something. They did all their heavy lifting in the offseason.
Yeah, okay, so let's go into the White Sox a little bit. There were some fans thinking, okay, we got to get Lance Lynn. Clevinger goes to San Diego early on, so let's go for it. Tell us more about why you like the Sox here. Earlier I was talking about all the control they have with guys like Robert, Aloy, Moncada, Cease, Tim Anderson for many, many years to come. So tell us why you like what they did not do.
So you just said something that fans need to pay attention to. You said a word, which is we have to do something. And when you've got a baseball executive or an owner who goes in with that view that you have to do something, you are guaranteed to make a mistake. So the best way to run a deadline and to run a team is to not be emotional, be secure in the decisions you've made up to this point, and recognize that change for change's sake does not necessarily make your team better. And the White Sox are a team. They get along great. They have a great clubhouse. They're playing very well. They have no discernible weaknesses. And it would have been subtraction by trying to have an addition to force a deal. So I'm perfectly fine with them not doing anything.
How much do you talk to the manager about chemistry and what's happening in the clubhouse before a trade deadline?
So we would try not to do that. And the reason is that we want our manager to take the 25 guys we give him and manage. We'll worry about everything else. We're in the clubhouse enough that we're aware of chemistry issues. We're aware if there's a player who's not happy and we want to get rid of him, or there's a player who has an issue. We know all those things. We try to let the manager sort of just be, we used to call it plausible deniability, because the manager's there with the players all the time. And we don't want the players to think that the manager is some sort of snitch who is going behind their back and saying things to the front office. So we run the team, give the manager his players, and let the manager manage.
So the Cubs just made some tweaks over the last couple of days. They add a bat in Jose Martinez. Today they get Cameron Maben and a couple of left-handed arms out of the pen. We think a couple, but maybe one of them, only Osich, is actually pitching for the team. Sitting 3.5 games ahead in the National League Central, what did you think of the Cubs' approach?
You know, the Cubs started off so well, but the fact is, since Bryant went down, it hasn't been as good. They've got a team that is in a position where you have so much uncertainty when it comes to revenue next season. We just don't know if fans will be allowed. We don't know what kind of rebound there'll be in the economy, what will be with COVID. And they've got a serious amount of core pieces to deal with, that the way the expanded playoffs are now causes two different results. One is for a team like the Marlins, who say, hey, we're going for it because we haven't been in the playoffs. We think we can make it. And one is the Cubs. We are going to make it. So therefore, we're not going to do anything that will hurt our future. And I like that plan if you're the Cubs. But I also think it's okay what the Marlins did. So there was room in this deadline for all sorts of action by different teams.
This is Joe Ostrowski with David Sampson, former Marlins president. See his work on CBS Sports HQ on Twitter at David P. Sampson. With the 20-14 record, Cubs are sitting there. They're not viewed as a top-tier team like the Dodgers. Maybe not even I guess they're certainly a second-tier team because they're division leaders here. But we've talked about it in the past with Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, and Schwarber all up at the end of next year. And it seems like Quintana and Chatwood, they'll walk at the end of the season, and you won't get much back. Are you okay with what they could or could not do with Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, and Schwarber? Because we know that that core there is going to be split up sometime soon.
Oh, it's a guarantee. You can't sign them all. And you just hope that they make the evaluations and they do it right. You hope that if they choose Rizzo, that he's the one long-term who's going to work out. I don't see them signing Schwarber long-term. If they can get Rizzo and Baez done, they may try, but I think it's possible only one of those three gets done long-term.
Were you hearing anything about what the cost was for Lance Lynn?
So the Rangers are an interesting situation because they were supposed to open their new ballpark with fans, and their new ballpark will have attendance in its first year worse than our new ballpark at Marlins Park in 2012. they're going to be at zero. And I feel for them, but they also tried to bring in a bunch of middling pitchers thinking that would be enough to make them good, and it was just doomed from the start. So I feel badly that they had to be sellers, but if you're going to be a seller, then sell. And they chose to keep Lance Lynn because he's got an $8 million deal next year, and they're going to treat next year as the first year in the new stadium. So therefore, you just sort of get rid of Minor, keep Gallo, keep Lynn, and try to pretend that this year never actually happened. I get that, but the problem is the year did actually happen, and players get a year older. The production goes down. So they, to me, needed a retool, and if you're going to be successful, you trade players at the high. There will never be a chance to get more for Lance Lynn than there was right now 4 hours ago. Never. and they miss that opportunity, and it will never come back.
I want to get to some teams that made some moves here, but also, what about the Angels with Dylan Bundy, Joe Maddon's team? Why did they keep Bundy?
Because if you are Artie Moreno, the owner of the Angels, you cannot possibly put your head on the pillow and say, we're sellers. In an expanded playoffs, after you signed Rendon to the biggest contract for a position player, you have Mike Trout, you've got Pujols, who's basically an expiring ordinary player now for one of the best players I ever saw play. You just can't believe that they have the worst record in the American League. It literally doesn't compute for you, so you can't act as though it's the truth, even though it's right there in front of you in the internet, in the standings, every single day.
Is San Diego the clear-cut second-best team in the NL?
No, because no team with A.J. Preller as GM is the clear-cut anything. Don't underestimate how hard it is to redo an entire clubhouse with a month to go in the season. It's the anti-White Sox, right? So they made moves because that's what he does. He always needs to make moves, but it doesn't always work. You cannot say with a straight face that Larry Rothschild, the pitching coach for San Diego, is going to be able to make it easier for two brand-new catchers to learn an entire staff with a month to go until the playoffs. It's just not going to happen that way. Yet he thought that he could redo all of the catching. And I just think that will backfire. I like their team fine, but they're not close to the Dodgers. I think the Cubs would beat them in a short series or even a long series. And I think San Diego is a first-round loser in October.
Wow. Any winners that stand out today?
Well, can we call the Dodgers a winner because they're so deep that they didn't have to do anything except they traded away a starting pitcher in Ross Stripling? But they've built such an organization by being so smart with the money they have that, to me, they're like permanent winners. And the other team is my old team, the Marlins. Getting Starling Marte and trading away Jonathan Villar to make the money work and getting Griffin Conine from the Blue Jays, it's pretty amazing. They traded a starting pitcher, Caleb Smith, who had a good first half last year, and that's all he's ever done. So I thought it was very impressive. The Marlins decided to cut short their rebuild and try to win. And when there's expanded playoffs, and they haven't been in the playoffs since 2003, which I very well know, why not go for it?
Good stuff from David P. Sampson. Check out his podcast, Nothing Personal with David Sampson, and find him on CBS Sports HQ at David P. Sampson on Twitter. David, thank you so much on a busy day for you.
Have a great day. Thank you.
There's David Sampson. He likes what both teams did. More so with the White Sox. That's what really stands out. And I agree with him, man. The price was clearly outrageous for Lance Lynn. And that had to be the focus. Now, maybe they were in on the Clevenger talks. Maybe. But I thought it was kind of silly that we kept hearing White Sox are in on Clevenger. Yeah, they're probably having those conversations. But when it comes down to it, when the Indians are going to move him, are they going to move him in the division? The team they're tied with right now? That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I just never saw that happening. Imagine what the price tag was for Clevenger. We know it was very high for Lynn. Just imagine what it was for Clevenger. Not worth it. Also like what Rick Hahn did not do. Really do. And I understand the Cubs mentality as well. He's higher than the Cubs than I am. Lower on the Padres than I am as well. But he's right. That's tough. Month to go, and you're changing both catchers. Now I get it. Clevenger hasn't been with them anyway, so it's not a big deal. But a young pitcher like Paddock, he's starting to turn it around right now after a rough start. Yeah, I'd be a little worried. My guy Eli Hershkovich, as soon as the deal goes down, he's texting me because he's got Padres to win the World Series bets. I'm like, yeah, ticket looks nice, but are you going to cash it? Are they going to win the World Series? Not so sure about that one.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.